All right. Now, while I do need a microphone, in the meantime, I'm going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 6. The book of Luke, chapter 6. I also want you to have your finger on Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 43rd verse. We're good at it here. Book of Luke, chapter 6. Again, if this is your first time ever seeing a Bible or reading a Bible, there is a table of contents if you have a printed Bible. Up on this mic, please. This is the first time that you have a printed Bible. And there is a table of contents. You will see the books of Matthew and the books of Luke in the New Testament section. So basically what you do is you turn to that page number and you go there and you go find the chapter, which is chapter 6 and then verse 27. However, there's a lot of scripture hopping today that we're going to be doing. So don't worry if you can't keep up. I will try to keep the words on the screen. Again, for those of you that can follow, have your finger in Luke, have your finger in Matthew 5. And if you really, really want to follow along, have your finger on Leviticus 19. With that said, I am going to go ahead and read this out of the Christian Standard Bible Version. You will find similar words printed in the text. Book of Luke, 6th chapter, starting at verse 27 and 28, reads as follows. It says, "But I say to you who listen, love your enemies." Everybody say that together. Love your enemies. "Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." I'm going to come from the following subject. You expect me to love this? You may be seated. You expect me love this? I want to warn you. The next slide I'm going to present is a trigger warning. Some of you who have been keeping up with the news know that this is going around. For some of you, this may be your first time finding out. But I am giving you about 10 more seconds if you don't want to hear what's about to come up. To leave or to sign off. But as I'm on my 5th second right now, I'm getting ready to go. So I'm just going to change this slide. Some of us are on the phone and can't see this. This is a picture of President Barack Obama, who is African American, and his wife, Michelle Obama, who is also African American, with their heads superimposed on the bodies of apes. And this is a video that was shared by our current president, Donald J. Trump, online. And this was left up there from 11 at night to about noon the next day. So about 12 hours. This was up there. Now, to be clear, President Trump has said that he condemns this. That's what he said, okay? I'm just reporting the facts. He says he condemns this. However, he said that he will not apologize for it because, and again, quote, he did not feel that he made a mistake. He said that he reviewed the first part of the video, which was about voter fraud. And he thought that that was what the entire video contained. So he gave it to a staffer, and that staffer went ahead and put it on. So again, according to the president, he did not know about this part of it. But again, he does not apologize because he did not feel like he made a mistake. It has been roundly criticized by both Democrats and Republicans. The White House actually did defend it at first, basically saying, you know, stop worrying about internet memes and let's worry about the things that really matter. I quote this, okay, you can look this up. But then after a lot of backlash, again, it was up for 12 hours. Then the video was taken down. So, if you're not aware, this is one of the most racist things, if not the most racist thing you can say about African Americans. Okay? Just in case you're not aware, because sometimes people don't know. People don't know. Okay? This is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to happen. That said, we read this scripture, and it says, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I don't know, I mean, maybe you're saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and you've never had this experience. But part of me wonders, you expect me to love this? Are you serious right now? Are you expecting me to love this? And it's not about if we're who our favorite president is. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle. This is horrible. And it's not lost on us that this happens during Black History Month. Yes, right? Do you expect me to love this? This may be the question some of you are asking. And this is where Jesus comes in because he starts to answer the question, how can we love someone who hates us? Now we're not talking just about Trump. We didn't say that Trump hates Black people, okay? We didn't say that. But we're saying that there's a sentiment of hatred that is given to not just Black people, but there's also other ethnicities that have been routinely and roundly denounced publicly. If you're Black, if you're Mexican, if you're a woman, if you're an LGBTQIA, if you are any of these protected classes, HR people, you know that there have been offenses that have been publicly stated. And how are we supposed to look at this Bible and say that we're supposed to love them? How are we supposed to do that? This is where Jesus comes in. Matthew 5:43, he said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what the Pharisees were saying, right? Jesus was saying that you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, English, you know, is interesting because when it comes to the word love, we pretty much have one word for love, which is love, right? But other languages have multiple meanings for what we, you know, call the word love. There's different types of love. And so there's a difference between the way I love you, and there's a difference between the way I love my wife. Does that make sense? I love y'all, but there's a certain love that I have for my wife that I'm not going to continue to get into. There's a love for my family that is different than a love for a stranger. There's different types of love. And in these other languages, you'll see that. You'll hear that. The love that was used here, for those of us that like to get into the Greek and whatnot, was the agape love, which is, you know, we consider that the unconditional love. And that's the love that God has for everyone, right? Hold on to that thought. So it's not saying that you have to go kiss your enemy and you know, sleep with them. That ain't the type of love it is, okay? It's not the type of love where you go to your enemy and tell them all your secrets and give them access to all your things. Okay, it's not. They're different types of love, all right? So what is it? Let's look and see. When we come to Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and this quote, love your neighbor, was actually taken from the book of Leviticus. That, what it was dealing with in Leviticus 19, verses 17 through 18, it was about dealing with people that you see as enemies. That's what the passage is about. Let's read it. Verse 17, it says, do not harbor hatred against your brother. Right? Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but let's all say it together, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Lord always ends with this quote, I am the Lord. It's about dealing with people that you see as enemies, right? So one thing you learn is that you can love somebody and rebuke them. Let me say that one more time. This might be somebody's first time hearing it. You can love somebody and call them out. You can love somebody and tell them what they're doing is wrong. You can love the politicians and at the same time tell them that they're wrong. You can love your ex and at the same time call them out. You can do both. Love is not silent about sin. And I say this because sometimes we feel like if I love them, I can't say anything. I just got to hold it in. Call it out. But don't hold a grudge. And in fact, by addressing it, that's how you get rid of grudges. But that's not what the sermon's about. Again, this is what Jesus is quoting. He's saying, the Pharisees say, love your neighbor, right? Which is in the scripture. And then the Pharisees added, hate your enemy. Why? Because it doesn't say anything about your enemies, right? Did we read this right? I didn't see nothing in here about enemies, right? Okay, you didn't say love your enemies, right? Okay, I can't harbor hatred against my brother, you know, got to take care of my neighbor, you know, my community, right? So the Pharisees, the way that they interpreted this was that you only have to love your neighbor, right? So basically, just make sure your enemies are not neighbors. And that's part of the reason why they were so big about shunning people out. Because then you can hate them because they're not in your circle. And as the Pharisees say, technically, if I hate you, I don't really need to love you. I just need to kick you out of my life so that you're not around me. And then technically, I can hate you. I'm supposed to love everybody in the church. But if you're not a member of this church, well, then technically, I can hate you. So if I don't like you, I'm going to try to run you out the church so that I can hate you. Does that make sense? That's the way the Pharisees were interpreting this. But what Jesus was saying, look, the point of the whole passage is to love your enemies too. That was the point of what you guys were misquoting. Is that you are to love your enemies. You are to love the people that tick you off. You are to love the people that make you mad. You are to love them. This is what Jesus is saying. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6 expounds upon it. He says, not only just pray, right? Love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And say racist things about you. And talk behind your back. And mess up your life. Pray for them too. Bless them too. They literally cussing you out. Literally cussing you out. Bless them. Do good to them. All they did was bad to you. You can't name one good thing. Do good to them. Why? Why, Jesus? How do you expect me to do this? Why? Why does Jesus say this? Verse 45. So that you may be, what? Children of your Father in heaven. We're going somewhere. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, God is so gracious that he'll bless people. He'll bless you regardless. The sun and the rain, especially in that time, represented blessings because they were an agricultural community. So God is saying, hey, look, I'm not going to only send rain for the food of the righteous people. Even those of you that hate me, even those of you that spit on the Bible, and those of you that refuse to ever follow me, I'm still making sure that you are fed. This is the Lord. I'm still making sure that you wake up the next morning. I'm still making sure. That you can get some medical care. I'm still making sure that you get a job. I'm still making sure of that. Even though you hate me, even though you will not acknowledge me, and you never will, I am still making sure. This is what God is saying. That you are good. How gracious is our God? And for us to be children of God, children of our Father, that would mean that we would have to be like the Father. We would have to be like God, like his and have some of his attributes, the kindness and the mercy and the grace. We would need to be like it. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. How do we love somebody? How can we love somebody who hates us? What Jesus is trying to tell you is to stop focusing on your foe and start focusing on the Father. The problem is you keep looking at your haters. You keep looking at the people that hurt you. You keep all of your attention and all of your thoughts and all of everything, you keep it on them. And Jesus is saying, look up. Look at our Father in heaven. Look at how kind he is to ungrateful people. And Jesus isn't just sitting here talking it. Jesus walked it as well. Because Jesus went on a cross and died for our sins. And in the midst of all that, his clothes were being gambled for. The night before, he had been beaten and spat upon and ridiculed. And Jesus knows what he's talking about. And for us to glorify God among the people, so the people may glorify God, we've got to glorify the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. He didn't just talk it. He walked it. He went on that cross for us. Do you realize that the gospel is fundamentally about God's love toward his enemies? That's what the gospel is. Prove it. Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in that what? While we were still sinners. Not after we came to church. Not after we stopped sleeping around. Not after we put the bottle down. Not after we stopped being racist, right. But while we were still sinners, while we were still stealing, while we were still hating, while we were still scheming, while we were still doing it, Christ died for us. Yeah. Somebody said that's not enough evidence. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 18 through 19 verse, it says, everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is what we're supposed to be doing. That is, verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Somebody said, what's reconciling? It's when you have beef, but you try to get people back. It's when God was completely through with you and said, you are going to hell and I am done with you. But God at the same token says, but I love you so much, I want to figure out a way to fix this. Right. God was reconciling the world to himself. Doing what? Not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Let me say it like this. We don't love people because they deserve it. We love them because our Father loves them. We didn't deserve God's love either. And we tend to forget that as church folks. You know, we've been in church in a long time. You know, and our past life is our past life. And it's a long time ago. And then somebody come in that acted just like you were doing at 16. And now we got the nerve to be all on their head. And you a sinner and this and that and this and that because they remind you of you. We've been in church so long that people cuss in your presence and you can't stand. I can't be around you. I'm just gone. Don't ever talk to me again. We just can't do it because we too holy. Y'all realize that God, we did not deserve God's love. Either. We did not come to church enough. We did not give enough money. We did not sing or play enough for God to be like, okay, finally. God loved us first. He extended his love to us first. We did not deserve that. And if we are going to be children of our Father, we ought to look like what our Father is. Starting to bring this to a close. Again, Matthew 5, chapter 46. Jesus keeps talking. He says, for if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors and the Democrats and the Republicans and Trump, don't they all do that? Don't they all love those who love them. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, verse 47, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles and your exes and your fake friends, don't they do the same? Here's the question. If your enemy approached you this second, right now, this second, how would you respond? Yes, that person. Yes. You know who that enemy is. Yes, that one. And that one. Yes, the second one too. If they came in, for those of us in the sanctuary, they came in right now through those doors and sat right next to you, how would you respond? Right now. Don't say it out loud. How would you respond if the one that took all your money, that ran off, the woman that ran off with another man or woman, or for some of us, President Trump himself, were to walk through those doors right there, how would you respond? Here's how we should respond. I would say, Brother Smith, that's our lead usher in the back, President Usher, Brother Smith, make sure they get seated. And also, somebody make sure that they get a program. And make sure that they know that we have Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Prayer and Bible study. Make sure they know that we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and services at 11 a.m. Make sure they know that we have a food program. That's every, third Saturday. Make sure they know. Because that's what we would do with anybody else. Hello? Do you realize this? Jesus was always like his Father. No matter who he was around. Jesus, do you guys realize the Pharisees, his like mortal enemies, right? The Pharisees invited him to his house, to their houses, multiple times. And he accepted. Did y'all realize that? If my ex invited me to her house right now, woo, I don't know. I don't know. But Jesus ate with people that he knew hated him. And on the flip side, which is what threw the Pharisees off, he also ate with sinners. And we like to romanticize that, but don't forget, Jesus is the Son of God. Sin offends him. These people drunk, sleeping around, doing all kinds of crazy things. And you're going to just sit up here and sit here with the Son of God? Hello? Jesus could have been offended on both fronts. But Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus was always like his Father, always offering grace, always treating others the way that they ought to be treated. We talked about that way earlier. Jesus was always like his Father. And so he ends with verse 48. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I promise you, I'm getting to the end right now. Perfect is the right translation, but the way we look at it is the wrong kind of semantic, okay? A lot of us look at perfect meaning like we're, being sinless. Nothing's wrong with us, right? That's not necessarily what the Bible is trying to imply, okay? What the word that was translated perfect back then, and these people would have known this back then, it meant finished. It meant complete. It meant, another word for that is mature, okay? And so what Jesus is trying to tell you is we are more mature than them. Act like it. You are more mature. Or let me back up. You ought to be more mature than the people that are hating on you. If I could close it, again, I'm not making a political statement, but there is a very famous woman that made this quote that said, when they go low, we go high. Y'all know who that person was? All right. Somebody said no. That came from Michelle Obama. Okay, one of the people in the video. When they go low, we go high. Even though they're your enemies, even though they're cussing you out, even though they're posting memes about how y'all still monkeys, even though that still happens, what you don't do is sink to their level. What you don't do is start the name calling. What you don't do is play the game that they're playing. Oh, all y'all Democrats, all y'all Republicans, all y'all black people, all y'all Mexicans, all y'all Indians, all y'all Asians. Don't sink to that level. Be mature. We're past that. We're better than that. And in fact, that's the point I want to leave with. The reason we love our enemies is because we're better than that. You are going to see a lot of reactions to this thing that happened with Trump. I have looked at a lot of reactions. Ain't nobody saying love him. Nobody. What Jesus is asking us to do is different. What Jesus is asking us to do is higher. What Jesus is asking us to do is more mature. If Trump ain't the issue to you, and he should be, you know, with this post, that should be an issue. But if your issue is that you can't be in the same room with somebody, don't sink to that level. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. If they come up to your birthday party uninvited, your ex show up to your house at your birthday party uninvited. Would you like some water? We've got the food over there. And, you know, there's some seats right there. You can sit down. There's the napkins. Later tonight, we're going to have some event. You're welcome to join. That's loving. Because you would treat anybody else like that. Don't sink to their level. Do not sink. Because when people do stuff like this, when they post stuff or have stuff, they want you to sink at their level. They want you to hate them. They want you to start talking about, well, you know, all Republicans and all Democrats, all black people, all white people. They want you to do that. Don't do it. Because you are better than that. Be better than that. Be better than that post. Be better than the White House defending that. Be better than the people that name call him because of, be better than that.